The name of the Lord is lifted high in this place this morning, and his praise and his presence fills the temple this morning. So good to have all of you with us today, and those of you watching on Facebook, we welcome you, and we declare today to be the day of the Lord and the day where his goodness is realized. I don't know about you, but I'm more thankful these days than I've ever been in my life for all of his goodness. Before you're seated, look around and wave at one another. We're dismissing our youth, our teenagers now. Follow Coach Perkins and Miss Jade to the Youth Center. God bless you, all of you angels on the platform today and every Sunday. So good to see you here, those of you here and there. Thanks for joining us today. I do want to mention that Pastor Steve and Lori are not here. They're in Gatlinburg, Tennessee on a week's vacation. Yeah, you can tell they're doing just fine up there. I miss them so much, and I know all of us do. But I wanted you to be aware of where they are, celebrating 33 years of marriage this week. So our love to Pastor Steve and Miss Lori and their family. I also want to say I knew it was going to be a great day today when I saw a lady, faithful lady, member of our church for so long. She's been in the hospital for weeks and weeks and has not been here for a few months, and she was able to, in her own strength, walk in the door today. She's back with us. Naomi Schmidt, we thank God for your healing. You're alive and well, and we're so grateful to see you. We do have just a couple of announcements to make. I'm going to ask one of our faithful men, Brother Jolly, if he will come at this time. He is the gentleman who heads up a citywide prayer event every month at some church in our city. This week it's going to be here, and Jolly, if you will, let everybody know what that's about and invite them to come and be with us.
Praise the Lord. Come on, we can do better, all right? Praise the Lord. You know, I always tell people that when you're in your father's house, nobody charges you for shouting in joy and in happiness. So if I say praise the Lord, I want to answer hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're getting there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I will take that for now. So like Pastor Carr said, on Thursday, that is the 19th, 7 p.m., we're going to have the citywide prayer gathering here at Abundant Life. So we've been going from different churches every month. So this month, we're having it here at Abundant Life. So for those who have not attended the prayer gathering before, it's going to be people from different churches, different races, different languages, obviously, because English is my first language, but originally I'm not from here, right? So, but people from different nations are going to come together and pray as one body. Now, I always say this, we might have different names, we might look different, but we answer one name, which is the name of Jesus Christ. So pretty much, that's the idea behind this. We're going to be praying to God in one language. We're praying for our nation, we're praying for our city, we're praying for this region. Now, you agree with me, even after the election, a lot of people are looking up to the politicians and looking up to Washington for help. But the Bible says our help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
So our help is not in any man. It's not in any politician. So we're going to be praying and we're going to be asking God to shine his face upon our nation, to shine his face upon our community. So please make it a date with God. Make it a date with God. You can go ahead and mark your calendar. 7 p.m. Thursday, 7 p.m. on the 19th. We're going to be here. We're going to be worshiping God and we're going to be praying. And if you have anything that's bothering you in your family or in your life, a sickness, or just come, we're going to be praying for people, right? We're going to be seeing the hand of God made manifest in them. So please make it a date with God, and I'll be glad to see you on Thursday. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Jolly. Thank you, sir. God sent him and his wife, Margaret, all the way from Nigeria to Florence to be a part of our church and to be a blessing to us. And it doesn't stop within these four walls, a blessing to our city and to our nation. One final announcement before we get into the word, and that is less than 2 weeks now till Thanksgiving. And as we always do here at Abundant Life, on the week of Thanksgiving, we have a very special Holy Communion service on the Tuesday evening of Thanksgiving week. It starts at 7, and we will have room for everybody. And we're doing it differently than we've ever done because of COVID concerns. But you will see if you're here how safely our communion will be served. And it's a mandate for us to partake of Holy Communion, each of us giving thanks for our place at the table. Today, if you will turn to the Gospel of Luke in the 4th chapter. This is a very famous verse of Scripture I'm about to read. And as I was reading this again this week, I centered on a phrase in this verse. I'll give you the context. Jesus had just begun his earthly ministry, which lasted 3.5 years, and early in his ministry, he walked into the Jewish synagogue one day, and the elders handed him the scroll written from the book of Isaiah. And Jesus stood before the people in the temple that day, and he opened Isaiah's scroll and said this, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And this verse promises healing, liberty, and recovery. Three powerful words. But the phrase that jumped out to me this week, and I've carried it, it's blessed me, tells about how much concern God has for the brokenhearted and his promise to heal those who are brokenhearted. So I want to talk about that today. It's fresh in my spirit, healing for the brokenhearted. The Message translation reads like this. Jesus said, "God's Spirit is upon me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. He sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free." And the next verse he goes on to say, "and to announce this is God's year to act." The Message translation. Now, other translations say this is the acceptable year of the Lord. One says this is the favorable year of the Lord. The Message translation, this is God's year to act. And I've been moved with compassion based on the few words in this verse, how concerned God is for those who are brokenhearted always. Now, the Amplified Bible says, "He came to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, and crushed by tragedy." Now, we've seen it all of our lives, especially in military service, how many men and women have grown up in this church and enlisted in the military, they would go off as boys and girls and come back after boot camp, strong men and strong women. And then many of our men and women have gone to the battlefields and fought in wars. And they would come back, and some had marks on their body where they had been maimed or handicapped because of the battlefield. But others came back with no physical signs of any problem whatsoever. They still looked like strong men and strong women, but they carried emotional and mental and psychological and emotional wounds that ran deep. And the point is this: not all wounds are visible. You can look at me, and I'm not much to look at, but to look at me, you would think, well, he's never been wounded. He's never been brokenhearted. But the truth is, all of us have been. More than once in our lives, brokenhearted. And I'm so grateful for the promise in God's word today that he is so completely committed to our inner healing when we've been bruised and broken and even completely crushed. Now listen, people change over the course of their lifetime, but there are usually two reasons people change. One, they have learned a lot. And the second reason people change is they've been hurt a lot. Aren't you glad to know that when you go through something in life, in your marriage, in your family, in your career, wherever it might be, that leaves you bruised and brokenhearted, Jesus is there to bind up that wound. Now, there is a clinical diagnosis about this. It's called the broken heart syndrome. Now, I'm not talking about that today. It is a legitimate, certifiable, diagnosable, physical, medical condition. I'm not talking about that. That is a temporary heart condition, but I am talking about what brings it on. And that is stressful situations and extreme emotions. The doctors have a fancy name for it. They call it stress cardiomyopathy. All because of a trauma, a traumatic experience, or a tragedy. Or it could happen to you. And we've faced this. Brenda and I have faced this. When you're in a doctor's office and the tragic, traumatic diagnosis is spoken over you. Things like that. Life events, most we don't see coming, catching us off guard, and all of a sudden our blood pressure rises, and some people even have pains in the chest. It makes people think they're having a heart attack. Some people even get so overwhelmed that they pass out and faint. I'm not talking about that medical diagnosis, but I'm talking about the kind of heart that can be broken from sadness or grief or intense anxiety. And often, this is the kind of broken heart I'm talking about, often when a relationship is ended, especially in marriage, husband and wife, or even in courtship, and perhaps both parties had such great dreams of living happily ever after one day as husband and wife, and then something happens and a romantic relationship is ended, we use the phrase broken heart. That left me broken hearted. That's a tender word for me today. Only because I know in a fresh way how much God draws close to all of us who have a broken heart. He's right there with us. Now, I told you a few weeks ago a little part of our story, Brenda and my love story, and how that for me, when I saw her for the first time, it was love at first sight for me. For her, it was not. In fact, she was wearing an engagement ring. She was a fiancé for another man. And that ended. And then I declared for the first time my love for her. Just boldly said, I'm in love with you. And I believe one day we will get married. And I told you her response. She said, Carl, I would not marry you if you were the last man on earth. Well, now, you would think that would have broken my heart, but it did not. I knew my work was cut out for me. It should have. You would think it did, but it had no effect on me whatsoever in my pursuit of her. To be my wife one day, and even though she played hard to get, she eventually slowed down long enough for me to catch up with her, and that was 44 years ago, so I think there's hope for us. But many times, a person will declare their love for somebody, and it's not returned, and it crushes the spirit. It breaks the heart. Now, even though I was not heartbroken when she did not return my expression of love for her, I was not. I have been heartbroken. You know, it doesn't take a lot sometimes to break your heart. I've been disappointed. I've been let down. There have been people, you know, as in your life, who I thought would be there for me and were not. All of us know what it is to be betrayed, even sometimes by a friend. And different things that happen that bring sadness and hurt and bitter disappointment. I remember there was a time in my life, just a few weeks, I was a much younger man, when I put all my eggs in one basket for my career. I wanted to go to work and travel the world, and I had an opportunity to be hired. Can I call names this morning? Is that all right if I But Jimmy Swaggart, who's a global evangelist, and this was many, many years ago in the height of his ministry, and he was in search of a sound technician. And all the cards were stacked in my favor, all of them. His band director was one of my best friends. He's been here before, Danny Bishop. He's one of the world's great guitar players, even still to this day. And so Danny was an insider, flew on Jimmy Swaggart's private jet with him all over the world for crusades that would draw 50, 100,000 people in outdoor stadiums in so many nations of the world. And of course, not only was he an evangelist who preached, but he also has sold more Christian music albums than probably anybody in the history of Christian music. And I just wanted that job and had an opportunity, so I pursued it. I went to a major city here in the United States where they were having a 3-day crusade. And, of course, I was backstage, and I was with all the people, and I ran sound, and it was flawless. They even said so. I got to know some of the others in the inner circle, and my heart was pounding out of my chest with excitement that this is mine. This is what I've dreamed for, and this is it. And after my 3-day weekend auditioning for that job, waiting for the phone to ring with a yes and amen on the other end. The phone rang a couple of weeks later, and it was Donnie Swaggart, Jimmy's son, saying, "Carl, you didn't get the job. We gave it to somebody else." And he said, "Now, you did just as good a job running sound as the man we're hiring. But he had one edge over you. He has a degree in sound engineering." And so that tipped the scale in another person's favor, and it broke my heart because I had counted on that job. I was brokenhearted. I won't ask, anybody ever been brokenhearted because you got news about your vocation, your job, or your career that let all of the air out of your balloon? I was just simply traumatized by that. I didn't know what to do next. I know what it's like to deal with a broken heart. I remember just a few years ago, you will remember this too, it made big headlines. It was around Christmas time when two movie stars, a mother and a daughter, were in the news. The mother was Debbie Reynolds. For decades was an A-list celebrity, a leading lady in many movies. She had a daughter, Carrie Fisher, who was also a movie star, best known for her role in Star Wars. And Carrie Fisher, the daughter, died. It was a shock. And her mother, Debbie Reynolds, died within 24 hours from her daughter's death. And the headlines were, "She died of a broken heart." Now, intense grief that comes with the death of a loved one, haven't we always been there? All of us have been there. I could call names. I mean, my family members who are no longer at the table, they won't be there this Thanksgiving. We know what we're talking about. We've all had our hearts broken, especially at the death of a loved one, a close family member. And it leaves us, listen to these awful words, inconsolable, without hope, and the feeling that nothing can fix our broken heart. I remember Brenda's older sister, Sharon, dying. She was 33 years old and was in the best health of her life. Had one minor medical issue. It was a hernia. And she was scheduled to go in for outpatient surgery, a 30-minute procedure, and go home. And something went wrong in the operating room. And when they went to remove the tube from her throat, acid, bile got into her lungs and burned the lining of her lungs. So instead of going home as she was scheduled, she was rushed into intensive care where she struggled to breathe for about 10 days and finally died, leaving two boys. They were maybe 8 and 4, and the younger son had epilepsy and would have seizures, and still today at age 43, he's extremely handicapped. And the horror of being in our family on that day, when we left the hospital in Charleston with her having passed away, and Brenda and I and her mom and dad, few others, had to drive to their house knowing that Sharon did not make it, that she was no longer here, and left those two boys, one severely handicapped. We couldn't understand it. It was a heartbreak for us. And everything is on the line at a time like that. If you want to know how strong your faith is, walk through a journey like that. and to see Brenda's mother, who was so distraught, traumatized, that her daughter had just died, leaving those two boys. To see Brenda's mother walk into her house after leaving the hospital and had to have help to even stand up. We had to take her straight to her bedroom and lay her on her bed, overcome with a broken heart. And I remember Brenda's dad asking his wife, said, "You're not angry at God for this, are you?" And she said, "Oh, even with that grief, even with that heartbreak," she said, "Oh no, I could never be mad at God." That was how strong her faith was. Now, she survived that. We all did. Sometimes we have to realize, as we did that day, that Sharon could not come back. And I watched Brenda's mom and dad for the rest of their lives with enough of God's grace poured out over them. They were able to make it. No, Sharon never was able to come back to us in this life. But God's grace made a difference for them. God's grace is there, and it's sufficient whenever our heart is broken and we need to be refilled with His goodness and His grace. And even though that's been 34 years ago, and things cannot go back to the way they were, and even to this day, our memories of her and her tragic death remind us of how sensitive we still are to the thought of her. But God's grace has carried us, and especially Brenda's mom and dad, for the rest of their lives. Psalm 147 in verse 3 is good news today. It says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." There is a Jewish proverb. Now, we're not Jewish, but we love Jewish people. We have Jewish friends. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And in fact, our principles are Judeo-Christian. And there's a Jewish proverb that says, God is closest to those with broken hearts. I have found that to be true. There have been a few times in my life my heart's been broken. I don't mean to over-romanticize that phrase, but everybody here knows what it is to have your heart broken, your dreams shattered. More than once in your life, you will deal with that. And God is closest to those with broken hearts. And no matter the source of your heartbreak, God can heal your wounds. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." And He said this, "Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now that's good news for the troubled and the fearful. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. When Moses had ended his assignment and passed away, and Joshua was now the man to lead God's people, God said to Joshua, "The Lord will fight this battle for you." And then God said to him, "Hold your peace." And I was watching a pastor friend of mine last Sunday afternoon, and he brought out in that verse, "The Lord will fight the battle." Hello, the Lord will fight the battle, but you must hold your peace. The Lord will fight the battle, but hold your peace. And even in times when we're dealing with the loss of a family member or the job I did not get, Oh, by the way, the end of that story is, I'm so glad I didn't get that job now. I mean, I don't know where I would be if my dream had come true at that age. I wouldn't be here, I'm sure. Don't know where, but I'm glad eventually it did end up that way. The Lord will fight the battle. Hold your peace. It's a matter of the heart. It's up to us to hold, to guard, to keep our peace. And then Paul said, even when you're going through no matter what, he said, be anxious for nothing. And then he said, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now think about that. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Hello? All understanding. How great is the peace of God? So great it transcends all understanding. And it will guard and keep our hearts and minds. David said it in Psalms, a broken heart, he knew what that was like. A broken heart, O God, you will not despise. Just think of it. My revelation today is how committed God is for healing to those who are brokenhearted. And aren't we all more than once in our life? Matthew 11, 28, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The Passion Translation says, come to me and I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. So God promises the support we need to get through the broken heart syndrome, if you want to call it that. David also said in Psalm 71, 20, you have allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life again and lift me up from the depths of the earth. And then in my study this week, I came across this verse again. Psalm 55, 22, it says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. The original King James says he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Listen to the power in that verse. Cast, that's what I want to talk about this morning, casting for a minute. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. It's mentioned again in 1 Peter, the same principle, 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now listen, this verse has the power to set us free from worry, anxiety, fretting, and fear, if we can understand what the word cast means. In the Greek language, and I get this from my favorite Greek scholar, Rick Renner, the word cast, as it's used in Scripture, means to violently throw or to fling something with great force. Now, if you cast your burdens on the Lord, that verb cast is such an active verb, honey, you will know it when you've cast. It don't just slip between your fingers. It don't just drop on the floor when you cast a thing. You violently throw it or you fling it with great force. Larry, I'm going to call your name right now. I'm not a fisherman. I have fished a time or two. The last time I went fishing was with Larry Pearson. And we went out in his boat, and he caught about 40, 50 fish. And how many did I catch, Larry?
Zero.
Zero. And my court was 12 inches from his, and his was going down in the water, and mine, I don't know what, I believe it was a prank of, I believe he sprayed my worms with something, I don't know. But I'm watching Larry, just one right after the other, get fish in the boat, and I can't catch a thing. And so I decided then, well, I'm not going to try this anymore. And so I never, don't anybody please invite me to go fishing with them, because unless you want to make your own self look really good at my expense. But so I'm not a good fisherman, Larry will tell you. I don't either. I don't know what happened. But I do know enough about this. I have done this. You take a rod and reel in your hand. And you've got the line real tight. It's all in the reel. And you're ready to cast. You're ready to cast. And with all of the energy, you rear way back with that rod and reel in your hand. And you've got your thumb right there. And then at the moment of casting, at the very moment, there was a split second when casting occurs. You can't take a month to cast. You can't take an hour to cast. You can't take 60 seconds to cast. There is one moment in time when you rear back and with all your force, you cast. And when you cast, you must also release. When you cast, you release. You can't cast and refuse to release. You'll still have all the line right there in the reel. I mean, if you don't release it, it's one and the same. So when we say cast your cares over on the Lord, it don't mean let them slip out of your hand and drop on the floor. No, it means to violently throw your cares and your worries, violently fling it with great force and release it and let it go. To cast is to release. And for me, when I cast something over on the Lord, and Brenda and I have this expression, I flip the switch. It's like, she don't have a switch. I mean, it's hard for her to release. For me, I can flip the switch, and not that I'm more spiritual than her. God, please don't strike me dead at the thought, but you just have to, if you're going to give the Lord, if you're going to give the Lord your cares, you can't keep carrying them from that moment on. You have to release them and let them go. And you can do that. He invites us to do that because he cares for us. That's the reason. Now, the word sustain in Hebrew said, the Lord shall sustain you. Cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain you. Old Testament, so the language there is Hebrew. In fact, it is a Strong's Concordance definition. If you're taking notes, you can write down H3557. That'll make it easier to Google and find the definition of this word in the Hebrew language. The word is in Hebrew, and the best spelling we have it in English is K. U-W-L. And how great is this? It's pronounced, even in Hebrew, it's pronounced cool. Cool. The word sustain. And it means God will uphold you. God will maintain you. God will make provision for you. So we have his promise that if we cast and release our burdens on the Lord, he will uphold us, he will maintain us, and he will make provision for us. And the Hebrew word, I agree with it in English, that's cool. And God's grace is sufficient. I found it to be for everything I've been through. I know I don't have battle scars that you can see. Thankfully, I honor the veterans who come home with limbs missing and a limp in their walk, and pray for the families of those who never come home but pay the ultimate sacrifice in defending our country. But a lot of the wounds that God's people carry are not visible to the natural eye. You could take a look at your neighbor and say, oh man, he's living the dream. She's living the dream. Which, by the way, I went into Dollar General. Shout out to Dollar General for a minute here. And don't you have one on every street almost now? They'll build one of them almost everywhere. And the cashier was in an unusually good mood. It was a young man. And so I go up to the register with my stuff, and he says, how are you today? I said, fine, how are you? He said, oh, I'm living the dream. And I thought, well, if you're going to be a cashier at Dollar General or if you're going to do anything anywhere, it's good to live the dream. But, you know, sometimes every day is not that good. Sometimes we do deal with bruises, and they're not all visible. I'm so grateful that God cares about our inner healing just as much as he does our physical healing. For other dreaded diseases, we could call them out by name one by one. But God doesn't stop there. He wants us healthy in spirit, in emotions, in mind. And he's promised to heal the brokenhearted. The world can never do for us what God can do. I'm going to close with this scripture, and then I've asked Lawrence Tuning to come and close the service with a song. I think it will be a blessing to all of us. You know that famous verse we love to believe for ourselves and we love to share with others? Jeremiah 29:11. Now, when it was written, it was true. Don't you believe when God spoke that thousands of years ago, don't you believe it was the truth? And if it was the truth then, I believe it's still the truth today. I want to read it to you regardless of your broken heart from time to time or whatever you're dealing with in your home. God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So when our heart is broken, let's remember the many promises of God's word that guarantee us a healing, a binding up of our wounds. And this word, if it doesn't work for you today, hold on to it. Keep it close to you, because from time to time in life, we're all thrown a curveball of some kind that brings grief and sadness and disrupts the routine of our life. And let's go back to the promise of God and hold him to his word. He is the one who binds up the wounds of the brokenhearted. Come, if you will, Lawrence. And no matter what the source of your heartbreak, God has something better for you planned on the other side of your healing. This is a song I've asked Lawrence to sing. This very song. How many were raised in the church? You grew up singing out of hymn books. Oh, thank God, somebody said. You know, then we suddenly did away with hymn books. And now we sing from the Bible, actually. Words on the wall, most of them straight from Scripture. Many are from the Psalms. But I still love some of the old hymns. And this song has been on my heart this week. It has blessed me recently. I believe it will bless you, Lawrence Tuning.
This song was written by a man very acquainted with grief. He was engaged two times, and both times his fiancée died before the wedding. And so he knew what it was like to be brokenhearted, but he also knew what it was like to have a relationship with a friend. And he wrote this song. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like the way Caucasians sing it, okay? I don't like that. I'm going to do it a different way, okay? I heard Aretha sing it one time, and I never heard it a different way that I like.
Because Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I believe some of you are ready to cast and release right now. Some of you watching by live stream at your house, whatever you're dealing with. Those of us who are here, if you need to cast a care right now, let's do it. Let's do it. On the count of three. Now, I'm telling you, you can't take a month. You can't take 30 minutes. You've got to hurl. You've got to throw with a violent force. And you're giving it to God in 3, 2, 1. Every care cast to the Lord. God bless you for worshiping with us today. Have a great week. I'll see you Thursday night here at Abundant Life for a great citywide prayer event. Have a wonderful week.